glad to have you join me on this week's edition of Word Journey. How are you doing? Thank you very much for following us up to this point, especially for those that are joining Word Journey from the day we started this journey on December 25th, 2022. If this is your first time joining Word Journey, Word Journey is where we gather to learn how to embark on a life pursuit based on the Word of God. Our approach is that every week we take a topical issue, search the scripture to understand the mind of God, that we may adapt our life to it. My job is to ask questions, Venerable Bona's job is to answer the question. And then our job again is to listen, pay attention and learn. And then, I don't know for you, but I've been learning a lot from this episode. Of course, this is the last episode for the month of May. And then we started this series about work. We started with the works of your hands. And then we looked at power to make wealth, occupy with this. And today I want to round off this series by looking at code for Christians at work. Why we're looking at this is that we understand that we have works of our hands. We understand we have to occupy with them. We also understand that God is blessing them. In the course of this, we are going to go to a workplace. Either workplaces we started off our own, that is, we are employers of labor, like the barber who graduated from just barbing to having employees. Or we are going to become employees where we go to serve other people. So we want to understand, how does God want us to live in that place? You know why it's important? When the Bible says, do not imitate the patterns of this world, what it means is that there's a pattern of this world and pattern of heaven. So we want to understand, what is God's pattern for Christian at work? Whether you are an employer or employee, whether you are the boss or subordinate. So if you want to learn that, please stick around for this episode of Word Journey. Meanwhile, if you are just joining us for the first time again, remember there are over 20 episodes of Word Journey you can download on Venerable Bona's website. That is ihaniobona.com. If you would rather stream, we have also created a channel for you to stream all of them on your favorite podcast platform. So if you go to Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Radio Republic, Stitcher, Amazon Music, just name almost all your favorite podcast platform, we'll have Word Journey available for you there. So when you go in there, search for Word Journey or Ven Ihanu Obona. If you want to get notification for every new episode of Word Journey, please, you can do that across social media platforms. For every new episode, we'll try to make the download link available for you across social media. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Follow the handle at our Word Journey and you'll be able to get the notification. If you want to get a notification on WhatsApp, please send your WhatsApp message to 0803-7620-939. Now, I will introduce my guest for this episode when I come back after this break. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Dinwoke.
Our faith in Christ did not just reconcile us to God. It ushered us into the Christ kingdom, where the Bible viewpoint is supreme. A genuine member of the kingdom is the one whose lifestyle is guided by Bible principles. On what journey? We search the scriptures to learn the mind of God so that we may conform our lifestyle to it. Welcome to Word Journey. I am your brother in Christ, Venerable Ihanyi Chukwu Obona.
Welcome back. Again, it's still Word Journey. And today the big question is, what is Christian code of conduct in a workplace? And to do justice to this discussion, I've been joined by Venerable Ihanyi Chukwu Obona. Venerable Obona is a servant of God that believes that as Christ elevated, lives are liberated, and is committed to teaching the word of God across every platform that God gives him. And his desire that God uses teaching to transform the lives of men. Venerable, thank you very much for joining us on this 23rd episode of Word Journey.
We bless the name of God, for thus far he has led us.
Yes, I know God is going to reward you. I just want to say well done, sir, for showing up every week for these episodes of Word Journey. Thank you, and God bless you indeed.
Amen.
Now, Venerable, I want us to start from the beginning. In the course of John's interaction with the Pharisees, he told them to bear fruit that befits their repentance. What I understand from that expression is that the way someone who has repented from sin behaves. Does that principle, does that instruction apply to Christians in your workplace?
Yes. As a Christian, you must bear fruit that are in keeping with your repentance at your workplace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 23 states clearly, servants, obey your masters in everything. A Christian in a workplace should obey the master. Obey all the time, even when they cannot see you. So obedience is not a matter of time you are being looked at. When your master is there, or when your master is not there, you obey. Don't just pretend to work hard. You don't pretend so that they will treat you well. No, you must serve your masters honestly because you respect the Lord. In all the work you are given, do the best you can. Work as though you are working for the Lord, not for your earthly master. This is from Easy to Read Version. I decided to choose this version of the scripture to make these things clear.
It's very graphic.
Thank you. When they say servants, obey your masters in everything, one of the things you obey your master is in time to come to work. Your repentance must show forth in your ability to keep to time of work. Your repentance will show forth in your attitude towards work. You see attitude now? Once the man is there, you are pretending to be working hard. Once he's not there, you become Tom and Jerry. You walk your way. You hear the sound of his vehicle, you run to your post. That is pretense. So, if we say, are there fruits for a Christian in a workplace? Yes! You bear fruit of obedience. We are not talking about the normal fruit of the Holy Spirit now. They will look at you and say, their master will look at you and say, this is an obedient worker. If they say in obedience, let there be name of the staff that obeys rules and regulation, they will mention you. There are times of break. You go for break and come back to your duty post. You are given a job. You work according to the time frame. There is a scope of job given to you to be finished in 2 weeks. Within that 2 weeks, you do everything possible within your powers to execute and finish that job. And honestly too, you must be honest. A Christian in an office must be honest. You are giving money to go for market to buy something, and there is change. Return it. Give account of your stewardship. You don't pocket your change or go and forge a receipt to tally with the amount they were given to. That's another way of fraud. Do the best you can. Work as though. Very important. The man you are looking at is not the owner of the work. You know the person that gave you work?
God.
Jesus. And that is why your attitude will elevate him there. Because before you go for interview or write for application, you went to God, Father, provide a job for me. During the time of it, lead me into the interview. Father, give me the job. And people are fasting and praying, and you got the job. The person that gave you that job is God. So you are going there to elevate Christ. In elevating Christ, you are obedient to the work. Your character, your attitude towards work will turn your master to repent. Because when issues come forth in that workplace, they consider your approach and the approach of others. They will notice your approach is quite different. And somebody will seek to know, who are you? Which God do you serve? And your master will want to ask you to take him to Christ or to lead him to your church where God has prepared him for repentance. It's because of your code of conduct at workplace. You don't take your work serious. It's a work as unto the Lord. If Jesus were to be there in your office, do you come late? Do you obey instructions? Do you pretend to be working? These are attitudes. These are simple code of conduct. We are not talking about play. We are not talking about love. Are you patient with the master? Your master? Your promotion may have come. He didn't promote you. You exhibit patience with him.
knowing fully well that the person that gave you that job is who? God. And promotion comes neither from the east nor west, south, but from who? From God. The man there is only an instrument. So these are simple, in simple terms, our attitude, as recorded by our brother Paul's letter to the Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 23. It's a relationship between a servant, an employer, now an employee to the employer. Mm. We'll get to the employer-employee. You can say, I am the owner of a factory, so I decided to come to work by 10. You are a Christian, but in your office, you are a master. You are not a servant. What's your attitude? The same attitude. What you expect of a servant is what the Lord expects of you. There is need for you to obey those your servants. You know how you obey them? In provision of what they will serve you with. They needed materials for production, and you refuse giving it to them. What are you doing as a master? You are jeopardizing their what? Work. Would they be happy? No. And you too, you should not be pretending. Because you also may be pretending that you are planning about their welfare, when in real times you are not planning about their welfare. You are not honest to yourself. They are instructed to be honest. You should be also honest. If you make a promise, fulfill that promise. Do also the very best you can to look out for your workers. As they are giving you, so you are also giving them. Because who is your master? Jesus. So you work also to prove that Jesus is the master of both the master and the servant.
There's something I want to get clear. A Christian who is going into the workplace is not necessarily a church workplace.
Yeah.
It's probably what they call a secular workplace.
Okay.
And in a secular place, sometimes there's conflict between light and darkness. Do you think a Christian can operate fully and live out the life that befits his repentance in such an environment?
Yes.
How?
Has God provided companies and offices that are totally run by Christians?
I'm not aware of any.
The Earth is an international organization run by God. It's a very big company. Who are the inhabitants? Christians and non-Christians.
Hmm.
Are Christians living on planet Earth?
Yeah, we are.
If you live on planet Earth, you can work in a company. Because there's no difference between the Earth and the company you're working in. The Earth is made up of all the people. While your company is made up of very few number of people, believers and unbelievers. If you can operate in the secular world, you can operate in that company.
I must.
What is important is that the life you live, do not be conformed with the patterns of the world. While you are there, God sent you there for a purpose. It's part of his plan and program for you in life that at this particular time, you are working in that company to become the light. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. Where we just read, you are in a company, believers and unbelievers. A believer comes to work by 8 and rise 7:30. What will the unbeliever do? He comes by 9 and then will rise 7.
Okay, sometimes in shining as light, I've heard about cases where believers try to shine as light in such environment and they look odd. They start wondering like, are you Deputy Jesus, Holy Nguyeje, and all of that?
It's better to answer such a name. The most important thing is, it says, where we just read, said, work as though you are working for the Lord. The Lord requires accountability, both of time, of work. Why do you see, these things has no difference. So we're in the world, we're in the world, but we are not of the world. That's what the Bible says. And we go to the same market, we go to the same stream. So God is not going to remove you and put you in a company where everybody is there. If there is a company where all of them are Christians, something is wrong with that company. Show me a company where everybody that is working there is a Christian. I'm not talking about church goers. So I'm not talking, you know, when I say Christian, I'm not talking about people that goes to church. Show me that company. If at all there is, it's a little place where they pay you peanuts. Talk about conglomerate, the biggest companies, international corporations, there are Christians. There are unbelievers there. But yet Christians, a Christian there will walk as unto the Lord. But what they call you, see, if you, is it, you know, if you come to a place, you are a Christian in a company, you are in the accounts department, and they want to commit fraud, you say no. And because you say no, that fraud was not committed, and they will go back and give you names. Good, answer the names and go to heaven. You did the right thing.
Sir, I'm talking about a situation where you are almost a lone man.
A lone voice.
A lone voice. And yes. Even looking like, this boy came here to spoil something for us. This boy is stubborn. He can't hear. Is he the holiest person on earth? In fact, maybe there's even a deacon in that organization who is joining them. The deacon will not tell you that, are you now trying to say that I'm not born again or something like that?
That is their business and cup of tea. The question is, where are you going? The whole thing will not end here. We are answerable to God. You are answerable to God. The first question you ask yourself, who takes the glory? But as long as you stood your ground and never joined them, you are making God in heaven happy. It's not the voice of man is not the voice of God. That you want to remain poor. Who does that is a way of remaining poor? See, I've been in a situation where I've offered money and I rejected the money. But here am I today, receiving the blessings of God. If I have received that money today, I may have been dead. Because the devil will have something, a hood against me. But I rejected money. When I talk about it, I say I rejected money in millions just to do the right thing. I have never regretted it for once. Because I know that my Redeemer liveth.
Now, many believers wouldn't do that because of that pressure coming from multiple people. Some of these people are people you admire before you even got into that company. Some of these people are titans of your industry. And then they say, this is how these things are done. So I want you to help me, a believer. Perhaps I'm in that kind of situation. How do I resist? Give me an information. Teach me. Talk to me. How do I stand firm to resist this kind of temptation when it comes very strongly?
You know, the Bible recorded that if it comes in one way, the Lord will give us seven ways of escape. And see, there is no temptation that has ever come to a man that has not happened to your brother before. And the same God. So there is no temptation you are facing. Commit your ways into the hands of God. Let God go with you in that organization. But once you step in and start shining as light, they will start avoiding you in their schemes. It's better those frauds are committed without you being there than you being there. They will avoid you in meetings. When you're on leave, they will hold meetings to commit fraud. But once you are back, that will end. Once your signature is needed to be signed for a fraud to scale through, they will avoid you. But if you have compromised in one little way or the other, you will continue to see this, because somebody will tell you the other day you did it for 1,000 naira. So what's the difference between 1,000 naira and 10,000 naira? From 1,000 you get to 10,000, from 10,000 you get to 100,000, from 100 you get to 1,000,000, from there you get to 1,000,000,000. You come into continue to come. But once you declare your stand first from inception, let them know you and who you are and what you believe in. That Jesus is your master. That you are not here to commit any fraud. And they complain, Jesus takes care of you. You are poor. Yes, I am poor. Because my master is also poor. He was once poor on planet Earth. Now, if we refuse to declare our stand, what do you expect? If we refuse to declare our stand. So there is no need of telling me how do I do it and then we'll be, no, you know what Daniel did?
Do it. Daniel refused to eat the food of the king and said, try me with water and vegetables. And he proved them wrong. Be faithful to the master. I will never do what Daniel said. Take the king's meat. These are the king's meat they are offering you in the offices. Reject it like Daniel. Be ready to suffer.
go into the lion's den, go into the furnace of fire, you will come forth brighter. We want your Nebuchadnezzar, those masters in the office, those people that are pushing you, to see the fourth man in the fire. It's only the Christians that resist evil that causes their master to see the fourth man in fire. When they begin to wonder what is actually propelling this young man, that he takes decision even against himself, that this money he needs, but he says no to it, they will start looking for the fourth man that is driving you. And Jesus will manifest himself as the fourth man.
Speaking about Daniel, the report says that Daniel was investigated in all matters and he was not found negligence on anything. Is it possible for us to find that kind of report about Christians today?
Yes. Daniel was just an example. So many Christians are bound that when you look at their report, you will not find anything.
In this economy we are...
Okay, let me tell you. You know P2B?
Yes.
What is his report as a governor?
I'm not...
Every investigative organization in Nigeria has tried to investigate the man and come out with one fraud. No one was able to do it. So he's the Daniel of our times. That's a man. He has a Christian named Peter. I don't know whether he's a Christian or not. But I know he goes to church. But I pray that he believes in Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. But that man...
If he has not done that.
But that man proved many wrong. That you can be a governor of a state, investigated after your reign, and he has never reported to EFCC, ICPC, Code of Conduct Bureau, for once. If he can, we also can. That's just an example.
Okay. I asked a question earlier about Christians who work in settings that are secular and being able to stand their ground. Now, you remember the Bible says we should not be unequally yoked with unbeliever.
Yes.
If I sign in to start working for, say, what Johnny Incorporated as an example, I become a bit yoked with what Johnny, in the sense that if I'm the account officer and there's a problem, they are going to invite me. If I start working as a CEO, they're going to get me. Even as ordinary employee, say, I'm part and parcel of that organization. Do not be unequally yoked with unbeliever extend to do not work in companies founded and run by unbelievers?
No. There's a way we will balance this thing. But if it is in terms of workplace relationship, how many companies are run by believers that will employ only believers? And they will end up fellowshipping together, doing things the way of the Lord. Let's talk about Daniel. When the Bible says he was an advisor, administrator, in which kingdom?
Nebuchadnezzar.
In Babylon.
In Babylon, yes.
In Babylon.
Yes, yes.
Under whose reign?
Nebuchadnezzar.
Was Nebuchadnezzar a believer?
No.
Was Babylon a Christian country?
No.
They were taken from the land of Egypt into that land. And they shined as light. It's like working in a company run by unbeliever. Joseph in Egypt, under Pharaoh, that never worshipped God, and he stands as a Christian. Another example, Mordecai in where? Assyria. Under which king? Ahasuerus. These are children of God. They made a difference. They were working under evil kings, and yet they shined as light, influencing the decision of evil kings to the extent that man, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
From the way they lived their lives, Nebuchadnezzar gave an order that every man, every woman will worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So working in companies run by unbelievers is not a crime. The only thing is that you go there and render the service which you are employed of. Shine as light, that they may see your good works there and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You don't reject such offer. An MPC in Nigeria is not run by Christians. But Christians are aspiring to work in an MPC. Banks are not owned by believers. Yet Christians are aspiring to work in banks and international organizations. But the point is, the life you exhibit there is what is important. When you're talking about, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers. When you're talking about that, see, that is a Christian brother who is a medical doctor should not be yoked with an unbeliever who is a doctor, two of them owning the same company. That is, you are yoked now.
Okay. Okay, I think I get
it. Yes, that's where you talk about yoking. In marriage, you are a Christian brother. You open your eyes without God directing you to marry an unbelieving girl and say she will repent in your house. Or a girl marrying an unbelieving man, say the man will repent and stop smoking or taking a hard drug, that you will convince him. God says, do not be unequally yoked. That is something like covenanting.
All right. Earlier you talked about the fact that, reading from that Colossians 3, that servants should be the master in everything. Now, you talked about the fact that one of the fruits expected of Christians in the workplace is obedience. I want to know, to what extent should that obedience be done? That's one question I have. I also want to know, how do I handle wicked treatment in a workplace? Like a situation where my boss doesn't pay salary, makes not crazy demand, but a lot of demand. And then what does God expect of me as a Christian who employ people? And I also want to know, what's the right way to initiate work relationship with even Christians, my brothers or myself? These are questions I have, but we'll get into all of those questions when we come back after this video, because it's already break time. If you just joined us, you are still listening to Word Journey. Word Journey is a platform where we learn how to go about our life pursuit based on the Word of God. Every week we take a topical issue, search the scripture to understand the mind of God. And we get to learn those things as I ask Venerable Bona questions based on the subject matter we have taken to discuss. Today we are discussing code for Christians at work. When we come back after this break, we'll get into other aspects of the discussion. Remember, Venerable Bona is a servant of God that is committed to teaching the Word of God across different platforms with the hope that God will use them to transform the lives of men. Please stay tuned.
Ever since the first episode of Word Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom God provides, the Word Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So, in addition to downloading all the episodes on the website ihanyobona.com, you can equally stream all of them on any of your favorite podcast platforms, such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitchers, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra efforts to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rema in the evening. Our desire is that you have daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedules. So, if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, Daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.
Welcome back. Earlier, we talked about the fact that one of the fruits a Christian should bear in a workplace is obedience to the master.
Yes.
So I'm asking, what's the limit to this obedience?
There's no limit.
How about when you have unbelievers as your boss and they are asking you to do things you know clearly are wrong? Sign the wrong document, package a bad product, change the label of expired products, and stuff like that.
You should not be involved in all these things.
But I'm supposed to be
in
my boss.
Case scenario, you resign. they are taking it too far against your faith in God. Assuming you are a medical staff of an organization owned by unbeliever, and you are asked by your boss to repackage a drug that has expired as if it's not expired. If you obey him, because the Bible says obey them in all things, and those drugs are sent out and people bought them, and having taken them, incidents of death starts occurring in the community. Who and who are part of the killing of these people? You are involved.
I just obeyed order.
You obeyed order that is against the word of God. The greatest master is God. The master of the master and the servant is God. He said, "Walk as unto the Lord." They have limited powers. If you go to God in prayer that tomorrow I am going to reject this, and you tell the man, "My faith in Christ do not allow me to commit this fraud, that I won't do it, I hereby tender my resignation," you walk away. Who is the owner of the whole universe? God. Than killing people, because this will live with you all the days of your life, the guilt. You are a murderer. And murderers has their place, what? In hell. That action, did you glorify God? No. And do not conform to the standards of the world. You are conforming to their standards. Changing labels of expired drug to appear unexpired. And it kills people. I remember the example I gave you. You are in a community and money was voted for building of children hospitals. You are part of the people that committed fraud, that hospital was not built. You take your share and walk away as a Christian. Your boss takes his share, and that community has no hospital, and people started dying in that community. You fold your hands and say you are not part of the day. You are part of the day because you committed the fraud. The money you ate was part of the money that was supposed to be used.
I didn't chop money. It's the boss that just gave me money.
Because he will give you now. He said and will put it there before God when you come before the judgment throne of God. We should understand these things. The obedience is not obedience to the point of disobeying God. Your obedience to man will not get to the point of disobeying God. Ask yourself, my obedience to this man, did it equal obedience to God or not? People obey men, meanwhile they are disobeying God. You obey a man by putting your signature to commit fraud, but you are disobeying God, who says you should not commit fraud. So which obedience is greater? Suffer it for a while. It may lead to suffering, it may lead to pain. But the point is that we look at the pains, but not the gain. Our focus is on the pain, but not on the gain. Because the gain outweighs the pain at the end of life.
Okay. We're going to get into how to behave as an employer. But before then, I want you to help me address this issue. How do I handle harsh and wicked treatment as an employer, as an employee in a workplace? A case in point is where those guys that ganged up against Daniel went and told the king, cooked up even a policy to just punish him. How do I handle such situation? Or where I get punished, get demoted because I refuse to comply with a bad policy? How do I handle such a situation?
Okay. You know, we've read Colossians chapter 3, verse 24 to 25.
Yes, sir.
Where it outlined how you should treat your master.
Yes, sir.
But this situation now is a situation where it is not coming from your master, but from colleagues.
Yeah, both master, like the wicked treatment is coming from both my master and colleague. In the sense where I say, sign this document.
You are working as if you are working unto the Lord. Signing document now is not a treatment. You reject signing that paper. I won't be. Reject it. At worst, you leave that work. If one eye will cause you to sin, the Bible says what?
Cut it off.
Cut it off. If a job you are working now, leave the job. It's not only I. Leave the job. Walk away from that work. Because it's leading you to temptation, disobeying God.
So is there no, how, if I leave the job now, what happens to the my responsibility?
The owner of the whole universe, whom you want to honor, is God. He will provide a job for you. We don't have faith in this God we serve.
Some of these guys can go to tarnish my image. They will release a press, they will do a press release and say that this is a
Let them advertise your name and put your picture. What is heaven saying about you? That's what is important. That a man wants to destroy your image matters to you than God destroying your image. We consider what God says. You know, remember that you will receive your reward from the Lord. Man will give you gift. God will give you a reward. Who will give you what he had promised his people? Yes, you are serving Christ. He is the real master. Remember that anyone who does wrong will be punished for the wrong. And the Lord treats everyone the same. That is Jesus Christ. One, remembering that who am I working for? Christ. What will he say at this very point? That's the point. First Peter says, cast you all your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you. This is an anxiety situation in a workplace. And he said, cast it upon him. Just throw it on him and let him carry your burdens. Jesus said, we could cast all our cares on him because he cares for us. There is nothing we are going through that we cannot cast on the Lord, even at a workplace. That thing they are doing to you, that wrong accusations upon accusation, tell it to the Lord in prayers. He should come over to your Macedonia and help you. In this workplace, God, if you want me to continue to work here, to shine as light, give me the heart to bear the evil. False accusations they are living against me. Give me a way of escape. God will continue to provide a way for you. If it gets to the point of God knowing that you can no longer bear, God knows how to send you out of that company. He brought you in there because you prayed about it. There was testimony about the job. Now, the issues of the job are coming forth. Why bear the burden alone? Take it to the master in prayer. Who will help you? Say, cast your anxieties upon me. It's an anxiety.
I've heard Christians who pray in church that any man sitting on their promotion should catch fire or something like that. The prayer point is beside the point. It's not our focus for today. My concern is that the impression is that they actually believe that somebody can sit on their promotion and say they will never get promoted. So how should Christians go about, what should I do as a Christian to position myself to ensure I get promotion? At least so that God, who is actually the source of promotion, will not come to promote me and will not find me worthy to be promoted.
Okay, I will read Daniel chapter 6 verse 3. Daniel proved himself to be a better supervisor than any of the others. One way to attract promotion. You know why he did that? He was faithful. He was committed. Honesty. He says he proved himself. Not that they said. There is a proof. And among other supervisors, so they are not one. There are many supervisors. But Daniel proved himself to be better than all of them. He did this by his good character and great ability to work. Assigned job to him, he delivers. The king was so impressed with Daniel that he planned to make him the ruler over the whole kingdom. That is promotion. How do you deliver? Do you prove yourself better? You prove yourself by working and working and working hard. You prove yourself by coming to work early. Your boss in the office will recognize that this one comes to work early. Assign a job to him. He does. You are not a gallivanter. You go to work in the morning. Before 10, you're out of the office. Where you are, nobody knows. And you expect promotion when promotion is due. And remember, Psalm 75, 6 to 7 says, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. One of the ways for you to position yourself for promotion is to know that man, it's not in the power of man to promote you, but in the power of who? God. So when you notice that, east, west, and north may be the masters of that work, different people in different departments, but it comes from God. But God is the judge. He put it down one and set it up another. That's the way. But in practical other times, let me tell you, always say yes. But no, it's okay too. You are not bound to always say yes to your master. Sometimes you say no. Be confident in what you know. Be confident in who you are and what you know. Then others will be able to see it too.
There are employers who neither treat their staff well nor pay them well. Yet they make demands, very serious and high demand from them. My question is, I also understand that Christians are supposed to work as unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But in this kind of situation where the employer doesn't treat the staff well, not pay them well, or even on time, is the believer still expected to work as unto the Lord? Or at least the Lord will understand that, but you know the firewood.
1 Peter 2:18-19. In addition to what we read in Colossians.
Yes.
In Colossians, that is complete code of conduct. Whether you are being treated well or you are not being treated well, you must obey your master. You must be honest. You must come to work. You must be faithful. No eye service. You don't pretend to be working. So, but now, for that man, this is clear cause. What is expected of you? 1 Peter 2:18-19. Slaves, be willing to serve your masters. Be willing to serve them. Do this with all respect. You should obey the masters who are good and kind, and you should obey the masters who are bad. The Bible. I said, today we are dealing with easy to read version.
Okay.
He brought it clear.
Yeah.
Both to the good and to the bad. The Bible says you would obey them. One of you might have to suffer even when you have done nothing wrong. Hey, this is killing. So there are situations in an office when you will suffer, though you didn't do anything wrong. The Bible says, obey them. If we think of God and bear the pain, this pleases God. Your focus should be on God who gave you that work. He knows that this will come your way. And he will give you the strength to bear it.
Okay. In a workplace, apart from the employee, there are employers. You talked about them briefly when we started this discussion. I wanted to please spend some time. What does God expect from an employer of labor?
We will read some scriptures now. There's Deuteronomy, there's Colossians there. But in simple terms, God instructs that you pay your employees fairly. Paying them fairly includes paying them on time. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13. I don't know what I'm saying. There is a difference between paying people on time and paying people fairly.
Help me understand. What does it mean to pay fairly?
You can pay fairly. Fairly means this employee, his fair payment is 50,000 naira a month. It's a fair payment. But when you pay him his salary of January in April, it's not a fair payment any longer.
Okay.
Time value of money has destroyed that payment. So pay employees fairly. God is expecting it from all Christian employers now, both in the church. You are a pastor. You should pay your people on time and pay them what is rightly theirs. Let me be clear. It might be for you that why the government is saying that the simple, minimum wage is 33,000 naira. There are so many Christian organizations that don't pay up to 33,000 naira.
I think it's 30,000.
Whichever one, whether 33 or 30.
Okay.
So what are they doing?
The church is not government now.
Don't they have the money to pay? Who tells you they don't have the money? The amount of time we waste in, we should pay this. You employ less now. Must you employ everybody? You run it as an international organization, a corporate organization. You have the capacity to pay. If it is wrong to have excess workers in the office, it is also wrong to have excess workers in the church. It's a charity organization.
No.
That's where we misunderstood these things. Why would God give us money to invest and allow us to make wealth? The church should make wealth. The church should pay people well. You don't make them steal the money in the church and commit fraud in the church because you're not paying them well. And you're not paying them fairly.
Churches don't generate... we'll talk about this in another time.
Listen. But remember I said, God is expecting an employer to pay a Christian employer to pay fairly. Hmm. And also part of paying fairly is paying on time. And I said, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13 states what I'm telling you now. Another thing God is expecting you is to stop oppressing them. Part of the oppression is when you deny a fair wage or not paying that time, paying them on time. It is a sin. Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 14 to 15. Don't withhold good for those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do good. If they need promotion, they are due for promotion, promote them. When it is due, promote your staff. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Masters, give what is good and fair to your servants. Remember that you have a master in heaven. God is expecting you to remember that you are not the ultimate master. As an employer, God is expecting you in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. Remember, you have a master in heaven. So it is expected of every employer to know that you are not the employer of employers. Somebody employed you. You are under the employment of God.
Mm.
As those people are under your employment. So it is expected of you. And the worst is that, do you know that God expects you to be a servant?
I will be a servant. I'm the employer.
Thank you. If you want to be a godly leader, you should focus on being a servant to all. Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45. Serve your employees, serve your customers, and humbly consider other interests ahead of your interests. According to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 8, Jesus says he has come to serve. When he was here, he washed the feet of the disciples, showing
humility.
Is he not at that point being a man? Eh?
Yeah, he was.
God is expecting these things from us. We should be honest and fair in all our dealings. Integrity is the best long-term business plan. It's expected of the owner of a company to do these things.
Okay. Sometimes employers are unable to pay salary in church. I've heard about employers who fail to pay salary. Some are plainly incapacitated. They had misfortune or something. I've also heard about people who owe salary but they give money in church. Is it possible the Holy Spirit that guided them to owe the salary and give money in church?
Want to recall we've answered this question in one of our episodes.
Yeah, in person. Yes.
But now we're talking about employer-employee relationship. I want to make it straight and blunt. If you're an employer and you're a Christian, you don't need to owe your workers and come to church and donate money. It is evil.
Yeah, it's harvest season.
I don't care. God is not interested in the money you are bringing in than in the souls you are killing. He says, I expect you to pay them fairly, pay them on time, give them what is due to them. And you remember the simple thing we say, if you are quarreling with your brother and you come to the church to give offering, the Bible says, go and settle it with him.
You know, part of the quarrel you have is that your employees are there murmuring and calling you evil names. And they will hear on Monday that you went to a church and give a donation that could have paid their salary. Are you buying? Do you think you're impressing God? You're not impressing anybody.
I'm just saying they should endure, have patience. Well, I do harvest in my church. Can't I give
you should,
my church?
The greatest harvest is the harvest of souls. Pay them their salary. Make them happy. Then go to church.
I need to make my God happy first.
Well. God is you can't make God happy with money. But with your character, with your attitude towards your fellow man. Love your neighbor as yourself. I still remember. He didn't say love God as your neighbor. There is love for God, and God do not eat money. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. Part of that shining is that a Christian employer pay your workers. Pay them well. Pay them on time. Serve them. Give them what is due to them. The Bible says it's a sin when you don't pay fairly and on time.
Our time is almost up, so I'm going to talk about some group of people. There are people that I want us to talk about, professionals who initiate projects and services, or even people who don't have big structure like international organizations. So what's the right way to initiate work relationship with anybody, especially family and friends? I've heard people who say the families and friends or churches and pastors and non-pastors who quarrel because of work. In fact, I heard a pastor say that he would rather do work with outsiders than church people. How should Christians initiate work to avoid, I would say this in an Igbo, kosh-kosh, because of the work, to the point of even them quarreling, and then brothers will now lose their brotherhood, that be friendship?
If I understood you clearly, we are trying to say the right way to initiate work with anybody, that is to say, engaging someone,
yes,
in contract execution, whether it be a relation or a friend or a church member. If we look at what transpired between Laban and
Jacob
in Genesis chapter 29, verse 15 to 20, he said, one day Laban said to Jacob, "You are a relative of mine. It is not right for you to continue to work for me without pay." That is one of the ways to initiate this. Recognizing that your relations are not to work for you free. Your members in the church are not to work for you free. Laban recognized it. That this man, he said, "You are my relative now. It is not right for you to continue to work for me without pay. Why should I? What should I pay you?" Now, Laban had two daughters. That's a story for another day. But the key thing is there must be rules of engagement. If it is in contract, please sign contract papers, memorandum of understanding with a relation, with a member of a church. It is not evil for a contract to be entered into. It is not good for you to be working for me free.
Sometimes people say that the contract is a sign that you don't trust me.
No, it is not.
Like, if you trust me, you should understand that, yes, guys, I'm going to find something.
I say it is not. Contract papers. Okay, why should you give engagement letters when you are employed? Time of work is specified there. Your salary is specified there. Your leave allowance, your medical allowance, your transport allowance. All these allowances are stipulated, and you sign and collect the paper. Who tells you there will be no fellow that do not know Joseph in that office?
Those ones are big organizations. I'm just saying, me and you are going to the same church. Why should you be signing a contract? You know, trust
it,
me.
It all depends on the level and the level of money involved. Let it be clear with you. Human can change. The devil is still in the business of tempting people. That brother may be tempted to disappoint you by his attitude, recognizing there was no contract involved in this. That does not take away the position of trust. You might agree to do business together on trust, but
there must be contract signing documents. It is not evil to sign contract.
Okay. This is where we bring this week's edition of World Journey to a wrap. And then by extension, this month's edition of World Journey. Venerable Gwona, thank you very much for consistency. Thank you very much for making our time. Thank you for the energy and everything you put into World Journey. God bless you.
God bless you, very good.
Another episode of World Journey comes your way next week. We would like to hear from you. Send us your questions and suggestions. If you want to send them by mail, please send it to wj@ihanyobona.com. You can equally call, text, or WhatsApp to 0803-7620-939. Please know that you can download more episodes of World Journey and other teachings by Venerable Gwona on ihanyobona.com. Also know that you can get daily short exhortation by Venerable Gwona on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and TikTok when you follow the handle @WordJourney. And if you prefer to get them on WhatsApp, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 and you'll be added to the broadcast list. My name is Ifeanyi Chukwu Dinwoke, and until we bring you another episode of World Journey, please keep representing Christ in your workplace. Ever since the first episode of World Journey debuted on 25th December 2022, God has helped the team release a new episode every week. By the strength and wisdom that God provides, the World Journey team has expanded your options for accessing every episode. So in addition to downloading all episodes of World Journey on the website ihanyiobona.com, you can equally stream all of them on your favorite podcast platforms such as Anchor FM, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Amazon Music, and Radio Republic. In fact, the team has made extra effort to bring you the Word of God daily through channels we call Word Alive in the morning and Bedtime Rhema in the evening. Our desire is that you have a daily infusion of the Word of God, even in the midst of your busy schedule. So if you want to get our weekly Word Journey, daily Word Alive, and Bedtime Rhema, please send WJ to 0803-7620-939 on WhatsApp.